Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. We're going to get into the latest in the Iran this hour, and I want to start with what is actually a very balanced, nuanced, and highly informative video about the history of Iran and what has led us to this point. It's a girl from TikTok known as Forgotten Girl 505, and here she is breaking down the recent history of Iran and what got us to the point of the revolution and where it could go from here.
If you don't understand what the fuck is happening in Iran right now, here is a quick summary of everything you need to know. To fully understand everything that's going on right now, I'm going to give you some brief historical context. In August of 1953, the United States and the United Kingdom did something called Operation Ajax, where they overthrew the democratically elected Prime Minister Mossadegh and implanted their guy, Reza Shah Mohammad Pahlavi. Also known as the Shah, he oversaw Iran from the 50s to the 70s. And during this time, Iran saw a lot of economic growth. They had liberalization, modernization. Women were able to do whatever they want, wear whatever they want, go to university. And it was an overall very liberal society. However, at the same time, it was heavily influenced by Western countries. So the United Kingdom, the United States, Israel, they had heavy ties and influence to Iran, which a lot of people did not like. The Shah also had a secret police called the Savak, which employed a lot of over-surveillance of citizens, brutality, and unnecessary aggressions, which the citizens grew to heavily resent. At this time, a lot of the wealth and power was also solely concentrated with Iran's elite, which religious leaders and the general population grew to resent because of the heavy Western influence and funding that the elite had. By 1979, the people got tired and had a revolution where they replaced the monarchy with the Islamic Republic of Iran, which is the Iran that we see today. Now, the new leader we see is Ayatollah Khomeini, who carried on Iran from 1979, from the revolution to today. And his government strongly stood against Western influence and cultural dominance, against imperialism, against Zionism, and strongly supported the Palestinian cause. So while these objectives were great, there were other downsides to this government. It imposed heavy religious extremism and rules and regulations on women, women's hijabs, covering up all the time to a point of brutality, which we saw in the Masha Amini case and Zan Zindagi Azadi movement. Political dissent, independent media, and civil society activism are heavily restricted. On top of that, the economy has become so devastated that it's hard for an everyday Iranian to live in. U.S.-imposed sanctions to curb the Iran nuclear program has resulted in a collapse of the economy as of late December. Inflation is skyrocketing. The rial, which is Iran's currency, has totally collapsed, and people across Iran are protesting. Civil unrest is so tense that the current Iranian government is enforcing brutality amongst protesters. Many are dying at the hands of government officials. There have been widespread internet and phone blackouts, so people living in Iran have no contact to their family members or friends outside of Iran. People of Iran are not only fed up with the economy, they're fed up with the government, and they just want a widespread change of government and a complete overturning. There are, however, some downsides to this. You may see some photos circulating of Iranian protesters carrying the Israeli flag. This is because there are some Iranians who want to bring back the Shah monarchy. They want to have that Western-aligned government. They want to have that Zionist-aligned government, which would mean that the Palestinian cause would greatly suffer because Iran is one who's greatly funding Hamas right now. Their argument is that they would see more liberalization, women could be free again. But if I know anything about Western intervention, is that Western intervention may look good right now, but overall you'll see a result like Afghanistan and complete failure all over again. I think what the people of Iran need is a third choice, not just a decision between the Islamic Republic versus the Shah. They need a democratically elected leader who will stand for their interests while also not standing for religious extremism. More than ever, I also want to see Iranian voices amplified, the people of Iran, diaspora Iranians, to decide what their government is for them. And if people in Iran are tired with the religious extremism, that doesn't automatically make them a Zionist. I want that to be clear. As you can see with this issue, there's no black and white. There's very gray, pros and cons to both sides. So we will see what unfolds in Iran over the course of the next few months.
So again, I'd say it's a pretty fair interpretation of what exactly has gone on so far. I would just say we're probably farther from any positive outcome than you could possibly say. Yeah, there's her TikTok account, Forgotten Girl 505 on TikTok. So I thought, you know, I thought it was a pretty balanced interpretation. However, if there's one thing that we've been able to learn over the last couple of decades of horrific dune boggle military adventures, it's that you don't replace a government with a secular, successful replacement by just airstriking the hell out of civilians, which is exactly what we're doing right now. So if that's the goal, what they're doing now is working in complete the opposite direction. Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, this is the War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on band.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the second hour of the War Room. Talking about the Iran war now. The great debacle, the most insane decision possibly ever made by an American president, or maybe ever. I was talking about this with our editor, Reese, yesterday, and going, this might have been the biggest mistake in the history of the world. I don't know what else could compare. I mean, already we've lost billions of dollars of, you know, radar equipment. The Gulf countries have had their entire reason for existing shattered. They're supposed to be these super safe playgrounds of the elite. A bunch of billionaires and millionaires don't want to be literally running across the tarmac as the airport is being bombed and their private jet goes up in flames. So, like, I don't know how the economy of the Gulf countries is going to respond. I actually just had another story. I mean, just the downstream effects of this. Qatar Energy has just declared force majeure, three words that mean we cannot deliver and legally we do not have to. This is no longer a supply disruption. It's a contract collapse. Force majeure is not a precaution. It's a formal legal declaration that an unforeseeable event beyond Qatar Energy's control has made fulfillment impossible. Every affected buyer just had their contract voided. The gas they were counting on is gone and they have no legal recourse to get it back. 82% of Qatar's LNG goes to Asia. China relies on Qatar for 30% of its LNG imports. And yeah, essentially they're shutting down factories. Like, there's an aluminum factory in Qatar that's about to shut down because they, you know, can't operate in the war conditions and don't have the fuel to continue operations. And when you shut down one of these factories, you can't start it up. In some cases, you cannot start it up again. Like, they have to always be running or else the machines, like, seize up and you have to, like, replace them, or it takes 6 to 12 months to start again. So, I mean, this is just the first wave effects. How many tens of millions of Iranians do you think are going to be fleeing Iran, considering the fact that our current strategy in that country appears to be simply bombing the hell out of civilians, and specifically civilian authority infrastructure like local police stations? Our goal in Iran has now become to create a failed state, to create a factionalized battlefield where civil war can be waged for probably decades on end. What is the benefit of any of this? Like, there's not even an argument for it. I think Donald Trump's decision to go into Iran may go down as the worst decision ever in all of history. Like, I don't know how this could be positive. How this could possibly come out positive. And it's like, you know, best case scenario at this point, literally best case scenario, I think, like, for Trump at least, like, for the Trump side of things, I think the best case scenario is utter quagmire, failed state, Iran. Because we're definitely not, like replacing Iran with the Shah, like that's not happening anytime soon. So what is the purpose of this? You know, worst case scenario is like China gets involved, Russia gets involved, Turkey gets involved. Like Trump may have literally destroyed America and like the world from this decision. That's why this is such a big deal. That's why this isn't just like, well, let's wait and see. Let's trust. No, I think he committed treason. And let me be clear about this, too. I think what was done was treason. I think Marco Rubio and Donald Trump made the decision to commit America to a war with no goals, with no, you know, desired outcome. Like, again, utterly retarded to do this. But everybody who's ever defended Israel in the last 2 years has contributed to this. Everybody who defended Trump's actions in Venezuela, I think, is guilty of contributing to this. I mean, we were groomed to accept what's going on in Iran right now. It was actually a very sophisticated operation they pulled off, and it's only now that I can look back and sort of see what the purpose of the Seditious Six was. Because at the time, they were stress testing the limits of presidential war powers. And they were deliberately exceeding those war powers to test the reaction, to gauge the, you know, clapback from anybody who actually opposed this. And we covered it at the time. And I said at the time, to claim that cocaine being shipped to America is not an imminent threat that therefore justifies unilateral military action from the federal government. It's just not. And it's absurd to claim that because the boat might have drugs that might get into America, that might be used by an American to maybe overdose. No, that's not an imminent threat. That does not fulfill the requirements prerequisite to start war actions. Now, that would have been nice to see anybody do that. It would have been nice to see principled Republicans make that stance. It would have been nice to see Democrats make that stance. They didn't, did they? What did they do instead? Instead, they made a video, the Democrats made a video telling American soldiers, disobey your orders. That's the real definition of controlled opposition. You hear the word controlled opposition a lot. A lot of people don't understand what it means. That was controlled opposition. See, they knew that there would be opposition to the president of the United States unilaterally deciding to drone strike foreigners without a trial and without a justification, and only by the most liberal stretching of the definition represented an imminent threat. There was going to be pushback to that. Now, if that pushback had been legislative pushback of the legislature asserting their authority when it comes to war powers and trying to rein in the executive in that way, that could have been effective. That not only could have been effective at stopping the Venezuela war crimes, that could have been effective at creating a precedent to disallow what's happened now in Iran. See, they were preparing us for what is now happening in Iran. We were having the same arguments back when it came to Venezuela, only it was more of in a testing phase. So instead, they co-opt the opposition to Donald Trump, and they have the controlled opposition not say, hey, this is a overreach of government powers. This is, you know, something that Congress needs to assert its legislative prerogative. No, no. They said, hey, American soldiers, disobey your orders. Okay, that's controlled opposition because that's sedition. You shouldn't be, that's the worst possible. Not only will it not solve the problem that you're trying to solve, supposedly, if you're trying to stop Trump from bombing boats, like that. Just not the way you handle this. That's not the way you'd actually solve that problem. You're actually only creating more problems later, but you're also sort of preempting these types of discussions that may have been happening right now. Should we not have gone through that with Venezuela, right? They wanted to have those discussions, have that conversation, set the precedent with Venezuela. So now they do it with Iran. It feels familiar. It feels like we've been through this before and it's already been decided that yes, Trump can do this. This is the level of PSYOP that we're operating under. And I genuinely, and like, I couldn't really know at the time, but certainly if you were watching the show, you heard me be like, I don't like the precedent this is setting. I don't like that Trump is being encouraged and being told that he's allowed to start wars like this. He's not. Why? Because look at where we are now. Look at the situation that we're in. We're only in this situation with Iran because we allowed Trump to do it with Venezuela. We only allowed Trump to do it with Venezuela because the people who should have been opposing him were instead co-opted by the CIA to create a crisis of dissension and subversion in the ranks by telling the soldiers to be seditious, not solving the real problem, creating a bunch of other problems. Again, I feel like this falls perfectly into the, you know, Black Lives Matter paradigm, right? Where, you know, similar type of situation. The issue is real, right? In their case, the issue with Trump exceeding his presidential limits was real. The topic of the police in America being weaponized and militarized and, you know, brutalizing American citizens, that was real. But instead of dealing with the real issue in a responsible and effective way, the bad guys come in, try to make the issue about something else entirely, make it impossible to deal with the real issue, cause a bunch of other issues, all the while setting the precedent for future actions that require all of this stuff to take place in order to groom us into accepting this early on. So, there we go. So, that's where we're at this point. We can go to more video. I mean, it's hard to tell what is true at this point, because the other aspect to the war that's going on against Iran now is, of course, the Eighth Front, the information war, the understanding by the Israelis, as you've heard reiterated over and over, it's just as important that we win the online war as winning the war on the battlefield. And so it's a little bit more difficult for them to do that with X, because Elon Musk is so vocally in favor of free speech and, you know, all this. Now, when it comes to TikTok, when it comes to Instagram, we already know that literally the people that run those companies and that are installed in those companies as the censors are just fully committed to censoring everything that makes Israel look bad. They're open about it. They act like it's a virtuous thing to do. When it comes to X, they have to be a little bit more subtle, but it's very obvious if you're paying attention on it a lot, the way that the algorithm changes. For example, yesterday, I'm going through videos for a while, and then all of the sudden, for like 10 videos in a row on X, and I'm just, you know, doing the thing where I just, you know, I'm scrolling through it almost like TikTok, so it's just giving me videos from people that either I follow or that are liked and shared by people that I follow. And suddenly, 10 videos in a row are Fox News, CNN, Fox News, NPR. I'm getting nothing but mainstream media sources. So that's one of the tactics that they're taking. Going, well, we don't want you to take anything down, but we think you should prioritize authoritative sources, right? And this was sort of the first expression of censorship that they tried all the way back in 2016-17, going, we need NewsGuard to tell us which sources are reliable. And YouTube should really serve up mainstream media sources, trustworthy sources first, before those untrustworthy individuals down there. So X is basically you have like the war going on in Iran and Israel. Then you have the parallel war going on in the offices of X and the ADL and the SPLC and the AIPAC, who are weaponizing their, you know, powerful industrial connections to, you know, blackmail and threaten to boycott X if they don't, you know, censor things that they want. There's an invisible war being waged on top of the normal war. And it's interesting because the invisible war is desperately trying to make the real war invisible, right? So in Israel, there are very strict laws about sharing video of strikes, missile strikes, launches, anything like that. And you've got the Israeli officials, you know, putting out statements going, the police are hunting down anybody who posts video. And like, they're serious about it. And they will use their technological wizardry to track you down and imprison you for merely showing the reality of what's happening. So over the last 24 hours or so, the amount of battlefield video has diminished significantly. Now, X is doing some, I think, good things, debatably, but obviously AI videos are a major issue with this conflict, and this is only going to get worse into the future because still AI is like a little bit detectable. It's kind of hard to get an AI video to go viral without people noticing, and Grok is okay at identifying it, but I like that X came out and said, basically, we're going to demonetize you for like 3 weeks if you share an AI video. I think that's good. I think that's good. I think you need to disincentivize sharing AI, and if you do it that way, it incentivizes people to double check, right? Because you don't have to know. Like, it might be a little unfair, but like if I share a video that turns out to be AI, I'm going to get hit. It's kind of on me. I need to make sure that what I'm sharing is not AI because I'm concerned about getting demonetized. So I think that's not bad. I think we do have to do something to deal with the AI. But the censorship that's going on behind the scenes is not good whatsoever. So we're getting less evidence and video of what's going on. So we already were having trouble figuring out what was real and what wasn't. You know, I think as of now, I think America has admitted to like 7 servicemen being hurt or dying. I think it's got to be a lot higher. We have no idea. And again, this is something that we talked about all the way back. You might not remember this. This must have been at least a year ago. It was on American Journal, and actually Lebanon John, who called in yesterday, was on with me. And we were talking about the fact, because what had happened was the Houthis had fired missiles at our aircraft carriers. Our aircraft carriers had to make very sharp, fast, and intense evasive maneuvers. And in doing that, it would cause like one of the jets on the aircraft carrier to break loose and go sliding off the deck, and people were getting hurt and killed. American servicemen were getting hurt and killed. And we were pointing out they're not reporting on this. The powers that be in this country have decided that strategic secrecy around casualties in the Middle East is necessary to keep the Middle East war going. Yeah, so only 6 U.S. service members have been confirmed dead. And I have the feeling it's a hell of a lot higher than that. I don't know exactly how high it is, but I pray that it's only 6, which is still 6 too many. But we know, because it would come out later, it'd be like, oh yeah, by the way, people died during that attack, but it wasn't reported at the time. Now, typically, America obviously prides ourselves on our open journalistic integrity, about the honesty of our military, even, if we don't always fulfill our, stated intentions, at least those intentions are there. But that's sort of gone away. Just like how we've adopted the Israeli tactics when it comes to diplomacy, of like thinking it's clever to be like, yeah, let's have a negotiation, knowing the whole time the negotiation's a giant ruse and you just plan to stab the people in the back. Like, it's not clever, it's just betrayal. It is an existential thing for you to do for the rest of us. It's one of those like, are you able to see 2 steps down the line? The first step down the line is you screw them over and you win. Great job, idiot. Great job, scum. Yeah, they believed you, those dummies, and now you screw them over and you get that immediate short-term victory. Well done. The next step is nobody negotiates with you ever again. Or maybe they do it to you and say, yeah, let's negotiate. Then they stab you in the back. Have you thought about 2 steps down the line? But of course, the people that are actually engaged in this, they're not the ones paying the price anyway. The first step is Israel gets what it wants. The second part is America pays the price. So they're happy for that to be the situation. But just like we've adopted the Israeli tactic of lying about everything constantly, there's also this, everything has to be secret. Oh, we can't let people know that American soldiers are dying or else they might not support the war anymore. It's like, yeah. No, that's why we have to let them know. Again, this is something that underlies all of liberalism in the Western world these days. Is this idea of, well, we can't publish the crime rates by race, or otherwise people think it's bad. We're bringing in all of these Muslim rapists to our country. It's like, yeah. So like, as we just disintegrate as a culture, as our actual values that built our society and our civilization just are deliberately abandoned or just crumbling to dust all around us, there's going to be an acceleration of this, and there's going to be greater and greater incentive to lie more and more, and there's going to be a greater and greater struggle to even ascertain basic reality. Where are the ships? Are there ships? Are there missiles flying? Is anybody dying? Is anything striking? Because I have a video of the spokespeople for America saying we have total domination of the skies and they have no more missile launchers left, while I simultaneously have video of Tel Aviv neighborhoods being flattened by giant Iranian missiles. So I think this is on purpose. I think the bad guys are, the term is muddying the water, right? They don't want you to be able to see clearly through it. They don't want you to be able to actually understand what's going on, because then your informed decision will almost certainly be at odds with their informed deception. And so they want to hide it from you. They want to stomp around and kick the mud up and obscure things so that you can't know what is true, can't make a decision, and are just at the ignorant behest of the people who do know. So just understand that all of this follows the moral collapse of the United States as we abandon our traditional values and our moral certainty for immediacy, for convenience, or for the sake of the despicable liars in chief, the Israeli people. And I think this is important to understand, because you've got things like Caroline Leavitt. I think this is it. Yeah, clip 14. Let's go to clip 14. This is White House spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt talking about something that I think we need to define, which is, as I just mentioned, what are the morals that America represents? Who are we as a people? What do we believe, and how do we enforce that? Here's Caroline Leavitt making a statement about these morals without defining them, which I think is a dangerous thing. Clip 14.
President Trump has done more to crack down on illegal immigration and to strengthen our legal immigration system than any president in history. Several months ago, he announced a travel ban on 19 third world and failed state countries around the world. Secretary Noem announced tonight she's recommending that travel ban widens and covers more countries around the globe. Special immigrant visas, which we know many Afghans have used to come into our country, there has been a complete suspension in pause on all of those. If you look at the entire visa process in general, we have greatly strengthened and heightened the vetting process and requirements for that under Secretary Rubio's leadership at the State Department. And he has used his authority, which is unprecedented, to actually revoke the visas of many individuals who, yes, came here legally, but still pose a risk to our country and should have never been allowed in the first place. And I would just remind people around the world that coming to the United States of America is a privilege. It is not a right. And if you abuse that privilege, and if you don't align with the values of the United States, and you don't respect our country, our culture, our laws, and our people, you are not welcome here under the leadership of President Donald J. Trump.
Wow, very strident. What does that mean, though? But what does that, what are our values? What is our culture? See, as Americans, I think our values are freedom and the independence and self-respect of every individual. See, Americans don't believe in collective punishment. We don't believe in blood feuds. We don't make our geopolitical decisions on the basis of religious extremism. See, these values are un-American, and yet these are the values that if you oppose, the Trump administration will kick you out of the country for being anti-Semitic. I think we need to decide who we are and then kick everybody else out.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. That's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Big Money. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Information War. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. This is The War Room. Follow me on X at Harrison H. Smith. Follow us at InfoWars, at Real Alex Jones. Support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. And once again, I feel like we have a responsibility here as the tip of the spear in the information war and the fight for humanity. And the proof, maybe, that we deserve the spot at the top, not only because we've earned it against all odds, but because we identified, you know, at the very beginning of InfoWars, what the guiding light would be and what the solution to all of this is. And it's the Founding Fathers, and it's true Americana. It's the actual American ethos, unvarnished, unmanipulated, unrestrained. It's Thomas Jefferson, the Founding Fathers, George Washington, Andrew Jackson. I mean, it's what those guys believed, what those guys said, has to form the basis, the foundation that everything else is built on. Because when you lose that, there's no saying where you go. When you become unmoored from these things, everything is justifiable. Everything is able to be rhetorically justified or slotted in where it doesn't belong. And again, I say that because now we're seeing the effects of what happens when you lose that. What happens when you forget the purpose of the freedom of speech or freedom of religion, when you forget the fundamental necessity of the Second Amendment or any of these things. And it's not just about the laws themselves, the rules themselves, the amendments themselves. It's about the moral underpinning that they're all based on. And so this has been the key to our success. This has been our secret weapon the entire time, because using this, it's like a compass. It's like, it doesn't matter where in the world we are. You look at the compass, you know which way north is. Nothing, you know, everything else can change, and, you know, whether you're heading north or you want to head south for a little bit in order to get north later, it doesn't matter. You still at least know where north is. You know how to orient yourself. So you know how to deal with any new situation. It doesn't matter what it is. If you aren't grounded in a foundational morality that you can express and understand fully, holistically, comprehensively, then you're at the whim of the winds. You know, every new situation you have to cobble together or fabricate some sort of moral construct that helps you decide which way is which. We don't have to do that. For me, it's always, the answer is always predicated on Christianity, the founding fathers and their morality, the really Greco-Roman Christian foundation of this country, not Judeo-Christian. Christian is sufficient to describe the history of the Christian religion, which used Judaism as a vessel to deliver the Christ, at which point the religion itself was manifest and became something utterly unique and different than what was before. Christians enough to satisfy that. Equal to that in importance for our social reality is what happened in Athens and Rome 2,000 years ago, not Jerusalem. So that's where it all starts, and that's where the fount of our success has been. And I think people recognize this. And again, the beautiful thing about this is everybody should be able to accept this. Everybody. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what religion you are. Doesn't matter what race you are. The brilliance of this, the principles that we operate by, is that they can be adopted by anybody and for anybody, and applied to any situation for the ultimate end of human freedom. Which is why, like, I don't know what people think. I guess I'm not responsible for what people think. But all of this stuff is just simply and obviously true, and anybody trying to tell you otherwise is lying to you for their own ends, and or think they're being clever. I think I'll be able to explain all of this here by showing you the opposite. I think I'll be able to illustrate what I'm talking about by showing you a place in this world, a area where such foundational American morality is absent, and what that looks like. So again, this isn't I don't know who would be against the things that we believe at InfoWars. I can't imagine who would be able to watch InfoWars and go, huh, I do think we should eat babies. Maybe the international pedophile rings have a point. Like, okay, if you aren't on our side, you're on the bad side, and it really is as simple as that. If you are on our side, I hope you support us. I hope that you can be proud of your participation in this mission, because it is your pride and your joyful celebration of what we represent that has allowed us to be so successful and allowed our message to penetrate into the minds of the American people in such a way that has changed the world. Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com. But I hope you double down, and I hope you know that we are as committed to the founding principles as we ever were, and that will not waver, and there's no reason for it to waver. So as much as I'm talking about, like, we need a new system, I mean, we need new people, we need new authorities, we need to shatter the leftover bureaucratic tangled mess that we currently operate in, and establish a new one that actually is based on the principles laid out in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, which again is like, okay, we have two options here. We have a couple options, but mainly, let's say three options. Let's say the three options are we keep going the way that we're going, which is just towards destruction. We are headed off the cliff. There is no, you know, inevitable change of trajectory that we're to see. So we can just go off the cliff. We could go with the radical progressive revolution, in which case we try communism again. Why the hell not? And then it just gets infinitely worse, infinitely faster for all of time. Okay, that's option number two. Option number three would be you break the current system, which is, of course, as we know, sacrilege in our circles. Yes, I'm literally talking about no longer following the Constitution, but only and specifically for a reset to where the Constitution actually matters again. That's what I was going to say. We have two options. The third option is just we don't do anything and just we degrade forever and we become South Africa. That is an option. But in terms of like what we need to do to fix it, either because the system is so bad and revolution is going to come, either the bad guys who genuinely do not believe in the Constitution, do not value human freedom, do not believe in individual rights, like actually eradicate that stuff on purpose because they hate it, or you have to like moderate that stuff for the time being to where we can get back like strategically to a point where these things matter again. Do you understand what I mean? So like right now, sticking to the legal system, there are a lot of people in this country that are like technically citizens. And then if you stick to the letter of the law and you go, well, if I was that person, I wouldn't like to be treated that. It's like, well, then we're just stuck with this problem forever. So how about, here's my suggestion, how about for like a temporary time, we go, even though on paper it says you're a citizen, if you arrived in the last 10 years, you're just not a citizen. You're just not. Now, you can be later. You got to go home first and you got to reapply and come back. But I don't care what your little piece of paper says. I don't care, you know, that some other foreigner told you that you're American, right? Because that's what's happening is you've got like some leftist activist from Senegal who Obama puts in a judge robe sitting there handing out American citizenship to people from Sri Lanka. It's like, I don't have no reason to abide by this. What the hell is this? So either we can just let the leftists take over. They don't care about freedom. They don't care about liberty. They don't care about morality in any way. And they'll just replace the system that we have now, which predicated on morality falling apart, not functioning correctly, but still ostensibly based on good things. They'll just replace that with straight up communism. Or we can take the necessary steps, you know, unpleasant as they may be, to actually get back to a place where the Constitution even matters anymore. To any degree. That's my position in it. And again, I say this because right now we have lost the underpinning, which we have tried desperately to insist upon forever. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've tried to lay out the argument ever since October 2023. People are like, well, these are our allies. Got to support Israel, Judeo-Christian, whatever. And it's like, we don't believe in collective punishment. What Israel is doing to Gaza is completely at odds with our most fundamental morality. You do not punish innocent people for the crimes of the guilty. You do not kill children because they might potentially grow up to maybe harm somebody you like. These things are anathema to our fundamental, deeply held beliefs about the nature of the human soul. So how people like Caroline Leavitt can sit there in abject, you know, sycophantic support for these people that do not believe even the most basic things that we do, and then say, but if you disagree with them, you're the bad guy, you're un-American, you don't have our values, and you'll be kicked out of our country. It's inversion. It's completely backwards. These people don't believe in our values. These people are deliberately altering our values to other values that are effing us over continuously. American values. And this is, again, I've tried to like say this over and over because there's a cycle that goes on where people like you grow up And as a little kid, and it's different now because the bad guys have gotten in so control that kids aren't even raised with the good stories first. But it used to be that you'd hear the good stories about our founding fathers that probably weren't real, but were informative, were valuable, right? Did George Washington cut down a cherry tree? Yes, he did. And he admitted it. That really happened. Whether or not it happened, you have to believe it happened. So as a little kid, you're told these wonderful stories that make our founding fathers look like demigods. And you believe them. You assume that they're true. And you think, what a great guy, this George Washington. Then you grow up a little bit and you go, well, he wasn't a perfect guy. He was human like everybody else. He made mistakes. Hell, he owned slaves. I mean, I know it was the time period, but that's kind of a black mark on his record. So you go, okay, those stories weren't entirely true. I'm going to try to find out what the reality is. Now, you can sort of go one of two paths at that point. You can either go full-on leftist, where you're just like, actually, white people were always evil and everything was a lie, and George Washington never cut down the cherry tree, and every positive portrayal of anybody in history is propaganda that has to be torn down. You can go that way, which is like the way that a lot of very stupid people go, or you can go the other way, which goes, yeah, of course George Washington was a human. Of course he made mistakes. I don't know if the cherry tree story is real, but you know what we do need? We need heroes. You know what we do need? We need models to look up to, role models, and virtuous men that we celebrate and that we tell our kids about in order to impart to them the values that define our society. And so what's happened is that human or American society has basically decided to abandon all of that, criminalize and demonize all of our heroic ancestors who were the greatest men that ever lived, regardless of their, by comparison, utterly minor and, in fact, completely inconsequential, you know, personal failings. No, it's actually extremely valuable to reemphasize and reiterate and, dare I say, propagandize your children into these values, because without them, the world becomes unmoored. And we end up supporting people and places and organizations that our founding fathers would destroy as rapidly as they possibly could. And I didn't even look for these videos. You know, if I wanted, I could play 10,000 of these videos. Let's just show you the videos I happened to stumble across today out of Israel, shall we? Because again, is this the same as like bombing a whole school full of little girls? Well, it's farther down the spectrum than that is, but it's not out of the same realm, right? These things all exist in the same realm. So let's go to clip 19 here. This is the only anti-war protest in Israel. Okay, so as we speak, Israel is first of all getting bombed quite a bit. I'm going to show you some videos of the neighborhoods in Tel Aviv that are unrecognizable these days. But we are also just carpet bombing Tehran, which is a city with a greater population density than New York City. And we're not bombing missile launchers there. We're not bombing anything that threatens it. No, we're just bombing the civilian infrastructure in order to cause them the most pain possible. It's horrific. Now, I've been sort of disappointed in the lack of protests here in America, but in Israel, this is what it looks like if you try to hold an anti-war protest. You tell me if this strikes you as, you know, distinctly in line with American values, American mythology about the rights of protest and, you know, the people standing up against their government. Let's go to clip 19. All right, so here's the protest. This is the only protest in Israel against the war. 20 people showed up, and they are outnumbered both by the number of police and the number of media there to investigate it. And basically, the 20 protesters, brave or insane enough to try to protest war in Israel, were all arrested. And the protest was broken up. So this is what I mean. This is why I'm so insistent on like that the values America believes in actually matter, and that it actually matters and is significant and substantial how Israel does not believe the things we believe. They do not have the same morals we have. They are not moral. They are not good. They are not in line with the fundamental beliefs about human society, human nature, the human soul, justice, freedom of speech. They are as bad, as dislocated from us as the mullahs are. They are as foreign to our beliefs as the most extremist Muslim ever could be. Imagine living in a country where, despite waging senseless, pointless war overseas, the biggest crowd you can get to oppose the war is 20 people, and the police just rush in, steal all your signs, throw the leaders in jail, and silence everybody, and then probably arrest people for posting it on the internet. Are these the values that we share with Israel? Are these the values that Caroline Leavitt thinks that you have to agree with, or else you're not American? Are we supposed to think that it's good now that anti-war protesters are brutalized and arrested, despite being a vanishing, like, what even would be the harm of letting 20 people protest? It's 20 people. Obviously, the wider Israeli public doesn't care. Obviously, the vast majority of, like, 99.99999% are not protesting the war. They're very much in favor of it. So it doesn't even matter. Like, let the 20 people, but they can't even do that. They can't even let 20 random people wave a sign outside, because that's how, you know, thoroughly threatened they are by the very concept of free speech and petitioning the government for redress of grievances. Why are we acting like this country has anything in common with America? So that was just the latest. That's to their own people. That's simply Israeli citizens holding signs that say, we don't like killing all these people. They're being arrested. They'll be charged. They'll be treated like terrorists. Hell, maybe they'll be raped to death, and then they're in prison, and then their rapists will be celebrated on national TV like they do with the Palestinians. Okay, but that, all right, but I hear you. It's sort of an extenuating circumstance, right? After all, they're in war, and when war happens, you know, you gotta, you know, make some changes sometimes. But what about the videos that we've shown you before of just Israeli soldiers just wandering into a Palestinian village and just forcing everybody inside? Or the scenes that we've seen of Palestinians, you know, being forced to no longer walk on the street because an Israeli's there and they're not allowed to walk on the same street as Israelis. Like, how many of these things have we seen? How about this one? Let's go to clip 22 here. Viewer discretion advised. Your discretion advice. This is what our greatest allies and our you know, the chosen people, this is what they're getting up to while, you know, we are bombing Iran for them, shooting and running over unarmed Palestinians in October was Matan Engress' quote, most beautiful thing to do before his tank crew was liquidated and he was taken captive to Gaza. So basically, you have this tank crew of Israelis terrorizing Gazans, and then the tank crew got blown up, and you know, one of the soldiers got kidnapped. But clip number 22. This wasn't even like a leak. Like, this is, they're proud of this. All right, let's watch. All right, there's the unarmed Palestinian farmer just trying to run away when he gets shot multiple times and then run over. He says, "Terrorists, we're also flying. They're moving fast. Go on, bypass him from the right." Again, she's just an unarmed, like, farmer running away. Right, right, on the right. I see how everyone is running to a different place towards me. Keep going, Matan. While seeing these sights, I needed to keep fighting. I'm driving and sitting in the driver's seat. It occurs to me, what am I doing? I'm a tank driver. How can I? Come on, move ahead, straight over. Come on, move forward. Run him over. Run him over. And he does. Then I started running over, one after another. And running over itself is, on the one hand, one of the most beautiful things. It's beautiful. I'm just stepping on a terrorist who wanted to enter the territory of the country. And I say to myself, you know, it won't happen. But on the other hand, you have to move on to the next terrorist. As good as one there, I can't even give a number. That's a crazy amount. I need to continue to the next. So he's literally just like, you know, running over terrorists in my tank is a beautiful thing. And the video is just like some Palestinian guy just like running away across the field, and they're just like shooting him and running him over. And he's just like, I lost count of the number of people I ran over. He's like giving this interview and calling it a beautiful thing. And the Israelis are just like, yes, it is. It is beautiful. And if you protest this, you will be arrested. And if you say that our values are somehow at odds with Americans, you're an anti-Semite, okay? And ICE is going to, you know, surveil you and, you know, make sure Caroline Leavitt doesn't hear about it. You might be deported. I think we need to decide what American values are. Nothing I've seen out of Israel even accidentally looks like an American value. It all looks like seething evil to me. It all looks like it is in abject, just diametric opposition to absolutely everything I believe. So just want to lay that out there. I want to lay that out there again as a sort of as the groundwork as we continue to talk about Iran, as we continue to talk about our country, our world, our civilization, our race being sacrificed on the altar of Israel. It's worth it to remind everybody that they are nothing like us. Should we go? Let's go to clip 20 here. Again, just put yourself in the position of the Palestinians. Because remember, when you hear Israelis talking about Amalek, that's you. Okay, that's me. It's everybody in America and everybody in Europe, okay? For some reason, Americans have this idea. They look at Israel and they see Israel beating up on the Palestinians and they feel tough and powerful because they think they're on the side of the Israelis. You're not, dude. You're on the side of the Palestinians. So put yourself in the mindset of one of these people in Palestine. This is in Bethlehem, who most of these people are likely Christian. They're not religious extremist Muslims. They're Christians like you and I, who have been there and their families have been Christian since Jesus ministered to them on the very land on which they now live. Let's go to clip 20.
Okay, so here you can see the Israeli soldiers are now forcing all of these shops to close because there's a tour of Israeli settlers who are here. Can we go this way? Why? I'm an American journalist. Are we not allowed to go this way? Huh? Can you explain why this area is being closed? Okay, I'm walking.
One by one, Palestinians are forced to close their shops and leave the area.
There you go. You're just people your quotidian daily humiliation ritual by a bunch of cowards with guns storming their way into an ancient village so they can, by the way, bring a parade of American settlers to look for their new real estate that they're about to seize with the help of the Israeli government. It is our obligation as Americans to not just oppose this, but destroy this entire system, root and branch.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAlterStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.